such tragedy. You're close to folks who have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse? Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And it is the last episode of Talking Giants before training camp. The last episode, even though some guys are already reporting. We talked with the Giants guys of New York Giants Rush for about 30 minutes. So we'll put that at the end. Just getting excited for training camp. It's like a hype-up interview for training camp. But we have some relevant news that we have to talk to that we didn't think we were going to have to talk about, like Kadarius Toney on COVID and, like, you know, a pup list as long as a CVS receipt. Justin, how are you?
It's funny. Jeff Pilgrim and Spiro, thanks for coming on. Giants guys, Giants Rush, tomato, tomato. It's funny. I let off that interview saying, oh, yeah, we got no news, and so we got to have you on before camp. And lo and behold, 2 hours later, it gets smacked in the face with a whole bunch of news. So let's get to it, Bobby Skinner. We got lots to talk about, lots to fit in. Even got our last edition of Giants stories as well. So get excited for that.
Ooh, how about that? Kadarius Toney, coronavirus. He's got the coronavirus. Now, he does actually have it per Zach Rosenblatt. Someone else said it before Zach, but you know what? Let's give Zach the credit. Zach had the source that he's feeling fine and he's in good spirits. So it's... Man, the Kadarius Toney story has been, it's been a bumpy road so far. Now, I know it's something that's bad, but that doesn't mean that, like, Kadarius Toney's bad, but there's obviously a lot of hot takes. So, like, this guy, there's always something, but it is like, geez, like it has been, nothing has went well for him since the Giants drafted him. I mean, the cleat thing at rookie camp, misses OTAs. When he does come to OTAs, you know, he's not a full participant the entire time. And now he's got the coronavirus. But at the same time, if he was going to get coronavirus during the season, he got it at literally the best possible time.
Yeah, you take out the reasons for, you know, why either him missing practice, which there was maybe a day or two where he missed practice because of a family emergency. And now he's going to be missing some time with COVID. But you take out the reasons. And the ultimate reality is that this guy has found reasons and is continuing to miss.
Finding is a tough word because it seems like that makes it sound like he's seeking it out. Reasons are finding him.
Reasons. Yeah, reasons are finding him. And regardless, it's frustrating. I'm sure I would hope that he's frustrated by it. And it's certainly, you know, it's frustrating for us. And I think people do have a right to be frustrated by the fact that our first round pick that we're kind of relying on and he's not going to be here. Hope he gets better. Hope he can find the field and hope he gets back and hope he's healthy. But still, it's rough. It's a rough start. And I think I honestly do think fans have a right to be like, yeesh, and kind of scratching their teeth a little bit. I do not say this guy sucks and he's a bust, but yikes.
Yeah. I mean, he just got on a plane to get to New Jersey. So I'm not going to you know, like he vaccinated, like, you know, my mom was vaccinated and she got it. So I don't know what his deal is, but he got it. I'm not going to be mad at him for getting coronavirus. 34 million people in America have gotten it, you know, but it, like I said, in a vacuum, it's like, oh, you know, what happens? Like, you know, but with so far, it's like, man, this has just been a bumpy start for Kadarius Toney. So, I mean, really, there's not much more to talk about besides, like, oh, well, he got it. Like, you know, you can't have any, like, big takes about Kadarius Toney getting coronavirus.
No, you can't. Because obviously, like you said, 34 million Americans, they've gotten it. And there's no individual blame that could be kind of passed from. So,
want to move on?
Hope he gets healthy. Hope he's here. Need him to be here. And hope there's no self-induced storylines that come from anything Instagram-related, during when he's on this COVID
maybe protocol. Commenting he got COVID from Instagram comments.
Don't think it works that way. All right. Not sure.
You know what? You're not a doctor. All right.
I'm not.
Next.
Twitter told me.
Next on the list, the pup list. And it's a long one. It is a long one. Saquon Barkley and Kyle Rudolph, very expected to be on the pup list to start camp. Oshane Zimenez, it's actually listed as a hamstring, so it's not the shoulder. Jonathan Harrison, the center we signed from Buffalo. And then Aaron Robinson, I guess he was dealing from an injury from college. The one that was unexpected, Matt Parrott. Matt Parrott is on this list for a back injury. Now, we don't know what this means, and R. Stapleton made a good point that, hey, Leonard Williams started the 2020 season on the pup list. But it is like, we're putting a lot of hope in Matt Parrott. Like, he needs every single practice rep he can get. So I hope these guys can come off this list at any time, you know? So, like, they can practice, like, Matt Parrott could practice on Tuesday. You know, any of these guys can end up practicing on Tuesday. But it is like, man, Matt Parrott, let's get you back out there as soon as possible because he needs every rep he can get.
Yeah, this is a summer where you don't want a lot of things to go wrong. I mean, you don't want a lot of things to go wrong anyway. What we do need, though, I mean, I guess before we give any too many more concrete takes, right now it's just like, yeesh. You know, seeing Oshane, you know, we're talking about Oshane possibly being on the bubble, right? And it's like, yeesh, you know, starting off on the pup list and losing practice time. Matt Parrott, you know, he's kind of in a competition that's not a competition because he kind of just doesn't need to suck for Nate Solder not to take his job, right? So we need more information on what these quote-unquote injuries are. Like you said, Bobby, that he could be out there practicing Tuesday and be removed off this pup list. So a little bit more information is needed before a solid, concrete reaction. But, you know, before camp, where we want to just feel total optimism and be like, you know, us against the world and nothing could ever go wrong, this was a big slap in the face all at once, all within the span of like 30 minutes.
Yeah. Not the fun. Matt Parrott one was like, oh, don't like seeing his name on that list. You know, that was a surprising one.
No.
With Oshane, though, like you said, he is on the bubble. And you know what? You know who else was on the bubble that, you know, that probably we felt had more security than Oshane does? Ryan Connolly. And he just could not get a lot of practice reps, and he ended up getting cut, unrightfully so. But nonetheless, it did happen. So, yeah, I mean, and Aaron Robinson, he's in a camp battle. Now, I don't think, you know, we'll talk about the camp battles more on Tuesday, but, like, he's in a camp battle, and he needs every rep. So, yeah, hopefully all these guys get back. I mean, like I said, Leonard Williams was on in 2020, and he was, you know, practicing basically, you know, after like the first week. So,
you know, the positive part about just this summer in general is that they already had a lot of time as a team throughout the spring. You know, we were worried at one point that the NFLPA was going to pull this whole, we're not going to come to any kind of spring practices, but I guess that was like a mince point besides for the virtual stuff. You know, the virtual stuff, they said they weren't going to. Okay, like, who cares for that, right? So the world is in a better spot this year. They're going to have more access to the facility. They're going to have more access to the practice fields and yada, yada, yada. And hopefully things just go a lot smoother with this whole COVID thing. And hopefully Kadarius Toney's the only one that goes on this COVID list this summer. So more access to the practice field, and especially in pads, I'm sure that is in play this summer. And that's a positive thing. And also the continuity. I mean, this roster does have a lot of continuity going for themselves too.
I am very anxious to see what the deal is with Matt Parrott, though. Because it could be nothing, it could be something. Like, we just, right now, we have no clue. It's just back, the word back in parentheses. You know, and back injuries can be a real pain in the ass for football players and offensive linemen in general. So, you know, hopefully it's... Hopefully 2022 pup list, we're talking about, well, you know, Matt Parrott started on the pup list in 2021. And then Saquon, they are going to, like, it's just basically a fact at this point. They're going to ease him back.
People don't believe us, by the way. I mean, we're going to say it probably a million more times this summer. I would like everybody to believe us. I mean, you don't have to. You know, we're not reporters or anything like that. But I would like you to believe us that we are smart enough to infer, and we watch this team enough, we study this team enough, and Bobby might have hinted that he might have heard something. But trust us that when we say that he will be eased back, kind of take our word for it. Don't keep disagreeing with us.
You know what? You can bet on it. DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes are over in Tokyo competing for the gold. I think I got no tweets about the intro in the last podcast, by the way. Like, I was really hoping to get some tweets about that, and we didn't get any. And DraftKings has a medal worthy of offer just for my listeners. Listen to this great offer. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. That's 100-1 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or bronze this week. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all the action. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code JOHNBOY to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. We have new Patreons, by the way. We'll announce them on Tuesday for the start of camp. How about that?
Yes, I love that. I know one of the patrons, one of the people that subscribe.
Does he have a loser first name?
Has this loser first name that's similar to me. Myself. You ever see the SNL segment of abrupt podcast transitions into an ad?
Nope, because Saturday Night Live sucks.
Whoa, hey now. I've been watching SNL segments on YouTube. That's what I've been doing the last month. I can't stop watching them. You deserve an award for an abrupt transition to an ad. It was well done, but it was very abrupt.
I like abrupt more.
Yes.
The Giants signed Mike Weber Jr., running back out of Ohio State, and Jordan Peters, safety out of Auburn. Now, Mike Weber Jr., 5'10", 211 pounds, was a 7th-round pick out of Ohio State by Jason Garrett in the 2019 draft for the Cowboys.
Ooh.
Spent 2019 with the Cowboys practice squad in preseason. He had 22 carries for 49 yards, 5 catches, 20 yards. So nothing, no spectacular stats. And then he got cut, and then he joined the Chiefs for the playoffs on their practice squad, won a Super Bowl. So we just signed a Super Bowl champion running back. How about that?
Wow.
And then didn't stick around with the Chiefs, signed to the Packers practice squad midseason and was elevated for 2 games and then waived in June. And now the Giants added him. It's a good running back at Ohio State, 6 yards per carry, 2,700 total yards. Or 3,000 total yards, or when you combine rushing and receiving. And you know what? Running back 3 is wide open. Gary Brightwell, Corey Clement, Mike Weber Jr., he's got just as good a chance as anybody. Running backs can climb the depth chart and come out of nowhere. We see it all the time. So Mike Weber Jr. has got just as good a chance as anybody as the running back 3.
Yeah, why not? Preseason is going to be the... Preseason games are going to be the time where, I think you can stand out at running back a little bit more than maybe even practice, because you're not technically, you're not showing off your yards after contact ability during practice. You're not showing off how you can break tackles fully when you're in practice too, unless Joe Judge is a psychopath and he's letting these guys really go at it, which that wouldn't surprise me. Why not? Yeah, but Weber, a little shifty. I don't think he was the fastest. I don't think he's the most explosive, but a little shifty. Did some nice things breaking tackles. I don't see him being a big yards after contact guy. Ran a 4.47 40-yard dash. So why not? If he can catch the ball a little bit. I didn't really look into his receiving stats, but if you catch the ball a little bit too, but really it has to be special teams. And that's why I give the edge to Clement, because he can catch the ball and he has that very, very big special teams experience. So
yeah. What was I gonna say?
Tough. Tough spot.
Damn it. I had something good I was going to say and I forgot about it.
Really, really good.
Let's see. Sign up for...
My point was just that good. That's what happened.
Oh, Rob Martin. Rob Martin with a rookie minicamp invite ended up making the initial 53-man roster. So there's chances that they're...
You're still salty he's not on the team.
Cutting Rob Martin for John Hillman might be one of the dumbest things that Pat Shurmur ever did.
Cutting Orleans Darkwa and drafting... No, I'm kidding.
Jordan Peters. Peters started at safety during his senior season at Auburn, had 42 tackles, 4 pass breakups, and an interception. Had 101 total tackles, 8 pass breakups, 2 fumble recoveries, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and 1 interceptions. Key special teams player, had 4 career block punts and returned 1 for a touchdown.
Ooh.
4 career block punts.
That's something.
If we get a special teams guy that's going to make it out of nowhere. You know what? You know who we haven't brought back?
Wild take. This is the next Michael Thomas.
Nate Ebner. Get rid of Nate Ebner and bring in Jordan Peters.
I had that thought today. It's kind of weird that he hasn't been brought back. He's not doing that rugby thing. He's not.
But it's like Joe Judge basically said he was. My only thing is, like, is he injured and they're waiting until he's, like, fully healthy to bring him back? Like, what's the reason Nate Ebner's not back right now? And Reichwell Armstrong being cut wasn't for Nate Ebner. Which, by the way, I heard a rumor about Reichwell Armstead, and I could not confirm it, but I just want to say I heard a rumor.
Can you give me a hint as to what the rumor is? I'm very bad with hints. I heard that
something bad happened to him in New Jersey. Because he's a New Jersey guy.
I was not with him for this event, so I cannot confirm what it was.
I tried, and I even sent it to beat reporters, but can you figure this out? None of them could. All right.
Maybe it's with the mob. I'll ask Snacks.
Possibly. Jordan Peters
next Michael Nate Thomas. Ebner,
For 2021. That's my campaign for training camp this year.
We'll put it on a shirt.
I got an All-22 film of him. He looked all right. Yeah, I remember watching him when I was watching Jermaine Sherwood, who's actually with the Jets. So how about that? We have 4 UDFAs this offseason. All right, Giants stories, and then we'll kick it to the Giants guys?
Yes.
All right, one last time until January of 2022. Jabril Peppers was in Cancun. Shane Lemieux got an eagle snake tattoo. Whoa, Logan Ryan was at Epcot doing the wine tasting of Disney. Sandro Platzkammer, who was actually put on the non-football injury list with Ryan Anderson, forgot to mention that, was at a Sorico Raiders game in Austria. Graham Gano was at a Nationals game. Efedi Odenebo was at an autograph session. Leonard Williams was catching tuna and eating hearts. Saquon was at his kids' camp. Kenny Galladay was on a boat on the Chicago River. Nick Gates was getting jewelry. And Kyle Rudolph was doing his golf tournament. Justin, what piques your interest? We talked a little about the heart on Tuesday, but I mean, that's still nuts.
Love it. When I do my jersey order, I'm going to get a Leonard Williams jersey. I'm also going to get Marcus Golden jersey. I'm crazy.
I thought you had a Golden jersey. I thought I saw a picture of you wearing, you know what? Did you have Andre Williams jersey?
No, I'm not that crazy.
Bradshaw?
Did I know that I was going to run into Marcus Golden when I met? I did not know. No. I was ironically wearing an Ahmad Bradshaw jersey when I met Marcus Golden, so I guess it looked like I was wearing a Marcus Golden jersey. Anyway, Jabril Peppers was in Cancun. I have a timeshare in Cancun, but I have not gone in years. Probably half a decade.
That's why you'd never get a timeshare. Leonard Williams catching tuna. Oh, so I went to the beach on my lunch break today, and I wanted to start about this at the pod, but we had so much news to get to. I have never seen so many sharks in my life. I mean, they were jumping out of the water like crazy. Must have been just so many fish.
What kind of sharks?
I'm not exactly sure. But
the basic lemon sharks?
Yeah. You know, you would just see their fins coming out of the water. I mean, it was like crazy. I tried getting a video, but I just couldn't get a good one. But you want to know what's crazy is I feel like sometimes I can be a little ballsy and you know, maybe take some risks that you shouldn't. Like, you know, I've seen... Like, we were at the beach, like, a month ago. There was a shark sighting, you know. But the sharks are always in the... Like, they're in the water. Like you should know that they're in the water when you go swimming, especially in the summer. They're going to be around you. They're not going to bite you unless you're, you know, a surfer with your, like, a hand dangling off. Like, for the most part, they're just going to swim around you and you're never even going to notice. But today, I was like, I'm not going in the water. It's like, they're clearly feeding. They're like, I'm not going, and I wasn't planning on going in the water anyway.
You should have taken one out.
This guy with his kid goes in the water.
Oh, good.
A shark jumps 5 feet away from him. Now, he's got his kid is like, he's holding his kid. So he picks up his kid out of the water, turns around. Like, okay, that's all he needed to get out of the water. They walk back like 5 feet. Stay in the water, and then puts his kid back down in the water and just hangs out in the ocean. What an idiot.
Live life with no fear.
for yourself, man. Don't put your little kid in there. Like, your kid's got little baby arms that they might think are a fish. Like, don't do that to your kid.
You're teaching the child to live life with no fear. I love that.
I'm not about that. Like, listen, you understand there's sharks in there and you're taking a risk, but it's like, you just, they're jumping all over the place. Like, I saw over 30, like, over 30 sharks, like, you know, doing their jump going for fish.
Is the water clear, or is it like New Jersey where it's green?
It's not like crystal clear, like when you see like commercials and stuff. Not like the West Coast of Florida or Miami.
Well, I mean, if a shark comes right in front of you, just kick it in the face.
I'm telling you, this was, you don't do that to your kid.
I'm confident if you went in the water today and you went in with the purpose of, I'm going to grab a shark and pass block it, grab it by its chest plates and the fins and pick it up, that you would have done it. I'm confident if you went in there with the eye of the tiger. There's like, there was a horde of them. So they were all together and you could have done it. I'm confident.
You know what I didn't have? A little child, a 3-year-old. You can't do that to it. Like, I was blown away at it.
You're blown away? Well, you want to know what blows me away? The pup list. All these guys on the pup list.
Hold on, and hold on, hold on. Can you read the ad?
That's what I'm doing.
I know. I wanted to ruin your transition.
You wanted to ruin my transition? Don't wind up on the pup list. The physically unable to perform. I mean, come on. Who wants to be on that list? Don't be on that list. That's why our friends at Roman are sponsoring this episode. Look, no one is perfect. The Giants that are on the pup list, they're not perfect. Hey, maybe Matt Parrott. Does Matt Parrott need to get some Roman? I don't know. Is he performing well? Maybe with the back injury, can't get it up? I don't know. I'll suggest Matt Parrott to go get some Roman. So if you feel like you're coming up a little short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/world. Right now with Roman, you can get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED from the comfort of your home. U.S. licensed healthcare professional, they will work with you to find the best treatment. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. We love that 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Go to GetRoman.com/world to complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Go to GetRoman.com/world now to get $15 off your first month. Straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/world. Get started now. Save $15 on your first month of treatment. Thank you, Roman.
Nick Z responds to my Matt Parrott tweet. Okay, Joe, time to cut bait. Gettle dumb. Camped in the start and the bum is hurt. So much for the Insta photos working out. ... Says Nick Z at TLI56.
Oh, we're back. Giants fans are back, baby. I love it.
Can we just... I really would like to bring back reading dumb tweets as a segment on the pod.
We're back. Back in the New York groove.
I mean, that was a great segment that me and Danny had. But it's like... I remember there was one time where, like, Linda Cohn was, like, going off. Reading dumb... It was an old segment. Now it's like it's being mean. All right. The Giants guys.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
Welcome back to Talking Giants. We have two of the Giants Rush guys here. The Giants guys, Giants Rush. Mr. Pilgrim, Pilgrim's Point, Jeff Pilgrim, and Mr. Glass Half Full, Spiro. Fellas, how are we doing? Thank you for coming on. Kind of like last minute, last notice. The Giants have given us nothing. They have given us nothing. There's been no unconventional, out-of-the-box stuff. And I guess I'm not complaining. But for content, it's hard to plan out stuff, especially when you have shows 2 times a week. So, fellas, thank you for joining us. Jeff, how are you doing, my friend?
Couldn't be better, man. I'm on vacation. I am. It's kind of like a built-in vacation. I kind of made this vacation happen because I'm in between jobs. And I did this thing where I pretended to that I need longer to start my next job. Yeah. So built in 2 weeks, I start August 2nd. So I'm living the dream right now. This was a last minute thing Bobby asked me to do tonight. I said no. He he offered other options. So thank you guys for
I wasn't taking no for an answer.
He wasn't. I said no in a group chat and he DMs me on the side and he's like, don't do that, bro. We're doing this today. I'm like, all right.
Well, Bobby's like a vampire. He is a very different night recorder than he is a daytime recorder for whatever reason. And the fact that I feel, you know, the fact that we're now both full time, we're still going to be recording episodes at 8 o'clock at night. And we just love making our work days really long. Mr. Spiro, Mr. Glass half full. How are you doing, my friend?
How are we doing, sir? Hey man, thanks for having me. Glad to be here. Like you said, it's kind of tough right now, 'cause we're in that really close in between period where we have really nothing to go on. All of our players haven't gotten in trouble. This is a good thing, but there's just nothing to talk about until next week, which is so damn close, and I'm so damn excited. But yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk football with you guys
for sure. And I want to talk about your guys' show, but we're going to do that at the end, 'cause you guys have had some really cool interviews this off season. But this is our last episode before training camp. Are both of you guys going to Fan Fest?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I am so pumped for that. We got some stuff coming out where we're going to have a bunch of free hamburgers and hot dogs, and we're going to be hanging out with people. So you guys better be there with us.
Hell yeah.
I'll start with you, Jeff. What are you most excited for camp, Fan Fest? It could be personal. It could be a battle. Like, what are you most excited for going into this 2021 season?
To be honest, just to be close to the Giants players, because last year was like a hole in a galaxy, and I don't even know what happened last year. And I happened to not catch a game in 2019. So it seems like a lifetime since I've been around Giants, just the energy of the Giants players. I want to hear the pads smacking. I want to see these guys going hard, and I want to see some rookies stand out and impress. I'm excited for that. We're probably going to talk about that a little bit, but just to be around the team. It's been too long. I paid a lot of money to go to the game on September 26th for that Eli game. So I just can't wait. I'm real pumped about this year.
Spiro, anything like particular with you?
I'm psyched to meet all you guys. I'm excited to meet the Giants fans.
It's a much better answer.
Like, honestly, me and Jeff have not even been able to hang out in person a lot. Like, cause you know, we just got into this thing a little while ago. And, you know, we went to a bar once, got to hang out live, but now, like, we get to go hang out at this Fan Fest. We get to go tailgate at games together. Like, I don't know, man, I'm in for the camaraderie. Obviously, the Giant camp thing, that's a close 1B. I got a lot of thoughts on that, but honestly, hanging out with you guys and hanging out with my fellow podcasters, I'm very excited to talk shop with all you guys and meet you live.
I'm almost more excited for Fan Fest than I am this season. Like, I am so excited to get there, get around people. Like you said, it's been forever. Like, you know, I went up there for the Giants Dolphins game in 2019.
Eli's last game, right?
Yeah, which was a fun experience. But like, met Justin and like a few other people, and it's like we've been doing this. You know, I haven't seen Justin since December 2019. I'm not even complaining about that. Actually, like that part. But it's like the Fan Fest, I am so excited to be around Giants fans, be around, you know, people who listen to Talking Giants and Giants guys and stuff, and just get that, like, those, that blood flowing. I'm pissed they're not letting us in the camp, because I wanted to go to all those, but just that Fan Fest, man, like, I have been thinking about it every single day since they announced it.
You know, and I almost feel like this is like a perfect storm, you know, hopefully this is a good storm, right? Where, especially, you know, Giants Rush guys, Talking Giants guys, you know, we've always kind of been like parallel, kind of next to each other, and always, you know, coming up maybe at a little similar rate. I think Giants Rush has been going on a little bit longer, but, you know, coming up at like a similar time and building up the team, and between not going to games last year, not having that ability to interact with either the team or the fans. So you have that withdrawal, all of us coming together up at the same time. Plus, there is inevitably just a different energy around this Joe Judge team. It really is. So all of that put together, especially the energy and the excitement around the team, I think it's really is creating this perfect storm where if we all do get together, it's going to be not if, when we all get together, it's going to be really a hell of a time, and I'm very pumped for it.
We'll have to coordinate Fan Fest and make sure, because I'm going with a couple of my buddies, and I'm down to meet anywhere. I'm looking forward to just tailgating, like Spiro said too. Like, I miss the tailgating. Like, mm-hmm. Is there a happier place on earth than that pregame energy when you haven't lost yet, right? And you're still happy.
That's the best thing about training camp, is you got no losses over your head bothering you.
Just pure excitement.
And there's nothing else that's on your brain too. That's probably like going to Giants games, at least the I'm relatively younger and I just really started to get invested into it and taking myself and going myself just a few years ago. And despite the losing before the game, doesn't matter. Like there is nothing that enters your brain, whether it's the school work. So I'm excited to get back into that mix. Cause even when you're home and you're watching the games, it's still like, oh, I got that. I got work tomorrow. I got Monday. Yeah. Monday's coming up, and that the anxiety is like back there in the back of your brain. But none of that when you're there in the parking lot, because you can't do anything else except be present.
No, go ahead, Jeff. I'm just gonna say, we all got into the Giants and started covering the Giants in kind of a dark time in the franchise history, right? And it's gonna be that much sweeter because we study the team, we watch everything, we're married to everything that happens with the team. So they're finally, it seems, turning the corner. Great defense. We seem to have the great coach. I haven't met anybody that doesn't actually really love Joe Judge. Like the guy just does everything right. He just seems like a perfect New York coach. But once this team turns the corner and we will have put all these years in, it's going to be that much sweeter because we have felt it more than the average fan because if we put all this work into it, whether you're paid to do it or not. No, Bobby's not a real fan because he gets paid to do this. But we're going to feel it a lot more. Now Justin gets paid to do so. Neither of you are fans anymore.
Yeah, right.
But no, we're not.
That's all right. No one's perfect.
I mean, but how, Jack, did you guys get when Sean McVay had that quote, like, Giants are coming, man? Like, oh, I read it every morning. It gets me all jacked up in the morning.
That podcast was great.
Oh,
was
really fantastic.
Bobby's a nerd, and he wasn't that impressed by it because he already knows everything about Joe Judge.
There's already an NFL Films video on basically every Joe Judge had explained.
I
listened to the Kyle Shanahan one and they were going real deep. Joe Judge, he's not gonna talk about his scheme and stuff like that.
Bobby's a nerd
because at the end of the day
he wanted to hear the schematics, so he's a nerd. And I'm like, come on, can't you
hear them talk about at least Patrick Graham? They didn't ask about Patrick. I was really bummed they didn't ask about his relationship with Patrick
Graham. If you ask about Patrick Graham, then the follow-up question has to be Jason Garrett. Then I'll make everybody mad, so that can't,
you don't want to talk about that.
I have a question, and this is I want to relatively put this in the beginning because largely people listen to stuff, more people listening to the beginning rather than the end. But Giants Rush, and your team is working with the Jim Fossil Foundation on some sort of golf outing for charity. So I don't know a ton about it. I know a bunch of players are going to be there. So, give it to our audience and give it to our crowd about, maybe how people can get involved if they want to go, et cetera, et cetera. So who wants to take that?
Yeah, I think maybe when we spoke to Carl Banks, I forget if it was on the air or off the air, but he started talking about that outing and Craig was let us know if we can get involved, if we can help. So I think they just asked, can we promote it? Can we get involved and promote it? And it's a cool foundation. The list of ex-Giants that are going to be there is pretty awesome. If you do that outing, I'm sure you'll be able to get a picture and stuff like that, but it's just a cool thing. If anybody is old enough to remember Jim Fossil and the kind of guy he was the kind of coach you kind of liked to have. And he's got that all-in speech. That's kind of his legacy, right? That's kind of the, if you think of Jim Fossil and you remember him, that's the thing you remember most. But this outing is a cool opportunity to meet a lot of real big time ex-Giants, Super Bowl champs from the 80s and 90s, not just the recent two Super Bowls. So good opportunity to be close to the team and get around them. So kind of cool to be associated with that.
Jim Fossil Foundation Memorial Celebrity Golf.
It's at the Upper Montclair Country Club, actually, in Clifton, New Jersey. It's Monday, August 30th, 11 a.m. Get involved. Even if you stink at golf, man, get involved. It's for an awesome cause. You get to hang out. You have dinner with a lot of big names. You have some drinks. You get a cocktail hour, locker room access with these guys. And half these guys aren't good golfers. You're just there to have a good time. shoot the shit, And it's just such an awesome cause. Fossil was doing this before his death. Now it's even a bigger thing after it, It's just awesome. And I'm proud of us, Craig, for getting involved. And it felt good. It felt good to get involved with this. And hopefully, if Craig wants to sponsor me as a golfer.
That's what I was just going to say. It's a big ticket. It's a big ticket to get invited. So I would definitely leverage any company that you work for a sponsorship, because it's a cool thing to be involved with. If it's a New Jersey, New York company, then they may want to get involved. It's a cool thing to get associated with. But there is an article on nygiantsrush.com with some more details that Craig put together. That'll be helpful too.
Perfect.
Where is Craig, by the way? He's always, yeah, this is like the second time I've tried to get him on the podcast and he ditches me for some vacation.
He is living his life in Outer Banks right now. Justin was definitely jumping into the live show this week and Craig was in rare form. I mean, I think he started drinking at breakfast and this was
already like, off the handle before.
He was feeling himself. Let's just say that.
He put the intro music on like five different times. You know, he was feeling it. So
he was flexing.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I loved it.
I feel like Justin wants to be on your guys' podcast more than ours because like he likes to dance and I'm just like, no, I'm never ever gonna dance on camera. And it's like you guys are dancing every single episode.
Oh, well, we're dancing, we're drinking, we have a good time, man. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There you go, buddy. We'd be happy to have Justin on if he wants to guest, man. And either of you guys, anytime, you know that.
Little Giants talk, mm-hmm. Like real Giants talk. So we've been putting out our camp battle polls, and we're not going to give our opinions because we're doing a whole episode on camp battles next Tuesday, which is our annual kickoff camp episode, which always gets me jazzed up. Mm-hmm. What camp battle are each of you guys looking forward to the most? It could be Donnie Holmes versus Aaron Robinson. Hell, it could even, I don't know if it'd necessarily be a camp battle, but like Rudolph versus Ingram was like the closest poll that we did. And there's a lot of them. What's the one you guys are looking forward to the most and maybe who you're rooting for in that one?
Well, I mean, we kind of talked about this the other night, and this isn't necessarily battling for a starting position, but seeing like Andrew Thomas and Azeez Ojulari go at it at practice, because we talked a lot about how they were Georgia roommates, how Andrew Thomas was at his draft party. These guys are really tight. And I just look forward to seeing them really battle at camp. And I think they're going to bring out a lot in each other. They're boys, but they're going to push each other. Andrew Thomas, he knows that there's a spotlight on him being the first tackle taken in that class. He needs to have a big second year. Hopefully he's healthy and everything, but I like that battle a lot. And it comes from another thing Carl Banks said about how Bavaro is made him great, and he talked for 10 minutes about their camp battles and how they pushed each other, and they're both pretty much elite at their position at that time. So to have them both on the same team at practices every day going at it is pretty awesome.
That's a fun one, like you said, because they're teammates, but like they've been training together with, you know, right. We actually talked with their trainer JT Alphabet, and like he says they compete over every little thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously good friend. I can't wait to just clip the first Andrew Thomas versus Azeez Ojulari and have Georgia Bulldog fans
go nuts,
just raiding me drool for over a couple of days.
Can I cheat here? Can I actually say two, like one underrated?
Yes,
one,
please.
All right, yeah, because one that's off the map that I'm personally a little interested in is the spot next to Blake Martinez between Reggie Ragland and Tate Crowder. I want to see Crowder take it, obviously, you know, and build off what he showed last year, because man, he came out of nowhere, Mr. Relevant, made himself very relevant towards the end of the season, man. And you know, that injury kind of set him back a little bit, but he flashed some things, and I'm excited to see if he can build on that. Another Georgia Bulldog, you know, and let's see if he can build on that. And you know, Ragland's a nice little vet to have, you know, right behind him, but is he going to push him? Is Ragland going to get that job? I'm interested to see that. But the one that they're really, you know, the most important one in my mind is the right tackle spot, and Pert just solidifying that right tackle spot and flat out earning it over Solder. Like, not just you know, we're going to give it to him. I think he's got to go out and earn it and beat this veteran Solder, you know, take it from him and just walk away with it. That way, yeah, we have our two bookend tackles and we could just put that to rest, you know. That's what I'm excited for.
I don't think there's a player I'm more nervous for than Matt Pert.
Yeah,
because he, like, you know, like, you know, you mentioned Andrew Thomas, Jeff, but it's like, you know, Andrew Thomas got, like, I feel confident in Andrew Thomas. Maybe we'll look back and be like, wow, look at the other tackles that I got picked. But I do feel confident that he'll at least be like better than what we've had the last few years.
Yep.
Matt Parrott, dude, he is such a huge unknown right now. We never really got to see him. We got very little bits of reps where that you saw some good stuff, but you also saw some bad stuff. Like, no team ever game planned for Matt Parrott, and his issues were very game planable against. You know, but nobody ever had to game plan against. So Matt Parrott is my biggest, like, if he's good, it can change the season. If he's bad, it can also change the season. Like, I'm
X
just
factor.
I don't, there's no player I just want to just be, please at least be average.
Yeah. More than Matt Parrott. Average. I would sign up for average right now. The fact it's scary because if he falls on his face and Nate Solder is 2019's Nate Solder, then it's like a scary situation on the right side of that line. And that's the biggest fear. If Parrott steps up and Nate Solder is a rotational guy and you almost don't even talk about him, and maybe he shows us more of what he used to be. And like, that's the hope, is that Nate Solder becomes like a good depth guy instead of somebody you actually need to rely on, because that didn't go well the first time, obviously.
Right. Well, Pert put the work in, man. He looks huge. He looks huge.
Yeah, he does.
And, you know, he went to all the camps that you need to go to. You know, he's putting the work in. So let's see if it pays off. Like you said, we saw some good glimpses. We saw some bad ones, like the Ravens game, you know. I'm praying, man. I'm really praying that we could lock down and have that cornerstone there on the right side for years to come. You know, if not, we're going back to the drawing board again.
Bobby, you mentioned a nice one with Aaron Robinson and Darnay Holmes. That's probably where I would have gone first, because I'm a Darnay Holmes guy. I think he was my draft assignment, so maybe I felt a little like attached to him because I studied him a little bit more than other guys, but I like him a lot. I rewatched the Seattle game this week, and he had that nice pick in that game, and I've always just been a fan of his, and I think he was thrown in early to a defense that didn't have an identity yet. I think, I mean, obviously rookie season, he had ups and downs, but I think he held his own. And I think he didn't hurt us. You know what I mean? I think he grew as the season went on. So Aaron Robinson is a different kind of dude, but like, it's a really good problem because this secondary is a strength. It's definitely a strength.
Darnay, we actually just recorded his player profile episode, which, you know, him and Sterling Shepard are the first one coming out on Monday. Make sure to check it out, people. But it's like, man, when's the last time we had a nickel corner who was like, didn't it screw us over? like how many times have we been screwed over by the nickel corner spot? Where in reality he should have, now part of it's Patrick Graham, and you know, he didn't put him in a lot of chances to get screwed over, but it's like, you know, he did well. And then Aaron Robinson coming in is like a very different type of player, drafted higher, they traded up for him, so they clearly like him. So that's gonna be interesting to see how that one plays out. But yeah, man, I'm just so excited to like be able to be there. People, I know it sucks we're not being in camp, but just like that Giants fan fest, like I feel like it's going to be the most like together Giants fans have been in forever.
I hope I meet you guys. There's so many people that you interact with constantly, and to finally meet them, you know, when I knew Spiro, like I knew him my whole life before I actually met him in person, and it's like,
oh, I didn't know that.
It's weird. Yeah, you did. No.
I thought you were saying it the other way around.
No, but it's just, it was a funny thing to like meet these guys in person that you know so well. It's one thing to like interact on Twitter and stuff, but to like do these video podcasts with constantly and then finally meet them in person, it's like, I already know this guy. It's like, oh, he's taller than I thought, or he's like, you know,
fatter than he thought.
I'm ready for that one.
That's going both the taller and fatter are probably going to classify both Bobby and myself.
So. Well, I'm just hoping that people are more wowed by like, oh wow, look how tall he is.
And yeah, exactly.
Bobby, how tall are you?
6'7". So see,
you're 6'7"?
Serious power forward height, man.
People don't realize that because I'm always on camera.
6'7"?
I am a giant man.
Got a lot of length.
But I've been trying to lose pounds. Like when I went on 11 questions with you guys, I was like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight. It's like, you know what? I've been doing a good job. I'm turning 30 in January, and I'm going to be skinny for my 30th birthday. That is a Bobby Skinner guarantee.
I love your goal. 6'7".
Damn, dude.
I want to be so skinny that people think I'm on drugs or something. that's my goal to get.
Like,
back
is he
to
okay?
That.
Is he?
Yeah,
ill?
Yeah.
That's what I got when I first got skinny. Now I know you guys have some stuff to do today, but you guys have had like some awesome interviews this off season.
Yes.
You know, with Giants legends, even some current players. Like what I thought was cool is like Chase Blackburn, who's the special teams coordinator for the Panthers. Like.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cool, like a big deal to have, you know, a Super Bowl champion linebacker who had a big play in that game, like a iconic moment for that interception. But also it's like, he is what Joe Judge was a year ago. You know what I'm saying? So like I thought that was almost cooler. It's like, wow, you guys are interviewing a special teams coordinator. Kevin Booth, I didn't realize how personable and nice he was, you know, like so who has been each of your guys' favorite person to talk to this offseason?
Go ahead, Spiro.
I mean, honestly, Jake Ballard was so personable and so much fun. He came into our show yesterday. I mean, the other day too. Like, he's awesome. He jokes around. I truly like Jake the most. Like, he was, and dude, all these guys have been so nice, so personable, so well-spoken, just great guys overall. And like, they're everything we could have asked for. But you know, Jake was my personal favorite, but on Chase Blackburn, hearing how you said the judge thing, he wants to be a coach. He wants to follow those judge footsteps. And that was really interesting to hear. You know, he's got big eyes for the head spot. And now that Judge is kind of paving that way for that, that same route, it was cool to see that he's really interested in it. But yeah, no, I got to go with my man, Jake, man. Much respect, love.
And Jake is a monster.
Huge.
He is an absolute like unit. Like this guy, what do you say? 299 pounds,
299, but Booth said it, he's over three. Why are you
said 299.
Yeah.
Said 299. How do you not round up? I don't know. Why wouldn't you want to own 300?
That means he's not 299. No, you were saying.
That's exactly what Booth said. Exactly. For me, Carl Banks was like a holy crap. I'm talking Carl Banks, you know, and I haven't felt, I love all these guys and I respect the hell out of all of them. But when we were getting started and we got to interview Lawrence Tynes, that was like the first, and Lawrence Tynes has been good to us. He did our show twice. And I said it on our live show this week too, but he's just such a normal, cool dude. And, you know, we did an hour long show and he stayed on for a half hour and we just kept talking football, but like, you can't have an episode go 90 minutes. Nobody's going to watch the end of it. So like we had to wrap it up, but he was so cool. And I just love watching the Super Bowl tapes back and being like, I know him. I talked to him. Like these guys, like, it's so cool to be in contact with some of those guys. And hopefully we get more and more recent, get some current guys. I don't know if they're able to, but the fact that Chase Blackburn like had to bail on our first show because practice ran late for the Panthers. It's like, all right, nice. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL. It's like, it's just been cool, man. It's like credit to Craig for booking these guys.
And that team was like, you know, those 07, 2001 Super Bowl, those guys just seemed like down to earth, cool dudes. Like almost every single one of them.
They all have that same energy, just humble, team first. And they had fun. Like winning, it's easy to have fun when you're winning. Like that cures everything. But these guys, I remember Tyan saying like 8-8 was a bad season. Like they messed up if they went 8-8. Yeah. And now we're saying 10 wins is the floor. And people are like, whoa, calm down. Like 10 wins. Like, guys, teams are winning every single year. Like, it's okay to be one of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And and these guys are genuinely excited to come back for the 10 year reunion. Yeah. Everybody's like, I'm excited to hang out with the guys again. I'm excited to be back at Giant Stadium. Yeah.
And they all seem to be like ball busters.
Yes.
Is like that. Those are my type of people. I thought about doing a video with Tall. You guys talk with Tolleson too. And Tolleson's like, you know, he's our guy.
Yeah.
I don't tell him this, but I have an idea to do a video of like, we're rewatching the 2011 Super Bowl. Cause he played a decent amount in that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just without letting him know, just needle him on every rep. Like, I get off the ball slow there. Just needle him to finally get him to explode on me, to see how patient he is until he explodes on me.
I thought about doing the same thing with Soibert because, you know, the biggest play, one of the biggest plays in Giants history, that throw to Tyree.
No, you can't bring that up.
We interviewed him a couple years ago and we brought it up.
Soibert got beat so bad off the snap. Yeah. And like, thank God they kind of like pancaked a few guys. And that's where Eli somehow got out of. But so, I mean, Soibert recovered and he helped defend before Eli threw it. But it was Kevin Booth was like, you watch that? They got beat bad. Like he said it first. So I felt all right to follow up on it. But I'm not going to mess with anybody that's coming on our show.
I thought you were going to talk about the wild card game. And
oh, no. We don't speak about that.
I found out he really doesn't like talking about that one.
No.
That's got to, I mean, two Super Bowls helps cure that. But yes. That's like some nightmare stuff right there.
I appreciated that.
Really started getting into the Giants, too. And that was just brutal.
We did talk about that a little bit with him.
It's a sensitive subject. I appreciated that Snacks replied to, I think, one of the tweets about, you know, when you interviewed Kevin Booth, and our little joke on Bleeding Blue is that Kevin Booth has the fattest ass in America.
Oh yeah.
And he liked the reply, and he's down to earth like that. And you know, if you're gonna be a ball buster, you also have to
take it back.
So, and then that apparently, you know, that was key, the evident that he was able to take it to.
Which... I was thinking about that during the podcast. Like, should I bring it up? Because like that's what me and my friends used to remember him. You know, I remember him, but that was a little joke. And I was like, no, I can't. He's just too. He's a Cornell grad. Like, he's up in the NFL. It's like he's not going to want to talk about this. But when he liked that, I was like, that's awesome, man.
Like Bobby was saying, like all these guys seem so humble and cool, and it seems to have a similar format every time. The first half hour is like we're getting to know them, they're feeling us out, and we're like asking football questions. And the second half is story time, and they just relax and they start having fun. And like we've had guys say like, hey, I have a half hour for you, and then you know they might message on the side and be like, I'm good, let's keep rolling, because like they don't want to commit to an hour if we suck, you know. But then like once they start having a good time, and this, we love the stories, we're all about the stories, so it's cool to get that from them.
For sure. Well, go check it out. It's on your guys' channel. So you guys, here's something I have a real question for you guys. Are you guys New York Giants Rush or the Giants guys? Because I, you know, I've always known it as New York Giants Rush, but the podcast has always been the Giants guys. Even when it went back to John Fennelly was on it.
Yeah.
What do you guys identify as? NY Giants Rush or the Giants guys?
I think this is a marketing problem. I think it's probably an issue, but I think the Giants guys just refers to the show, to the podcast, to the, you know, and then NY Giants Rush is the website. It's Craig's account, for better or worse. And look, cause sometimes Craig tweets out something, me and Spear are like, oh man.
Like, well, you guys have your separate accounts, and you have Talking Giants, you know, which, you know, we're working towards it. The website's the NY Giants Rush. NY Giants umbrella, NY Giants Rush is the Giants guys. Yeah. That's our.
And our YouTube channel did not exist a calendar year ago. That's how like new we are. So like it's cool to see it like slowly growing, and the interviews that we're getting, hopefully we keep getting them, but it's just cool to have that. The first year, and that's when I met Spiro and stuff, we were just writing articles, and then once I guess Fennelly left and Craig wanted to keep going, we just had the idea to just do a Zoom just like this. Let's just get together, talk Giants, and we just had a great time, and you know, everyone's a cool guy, everyone gets along and everything. So We've had a lot of fun, man. We've got like 45 videos, something like that, up there, and it's rolling.
Kept track of this. Hold on, Bobby, I'll let you finish in a second, but I've kept track of this. It's been a while since I checked on it, but my 11 questions video with El Jefe featuring Justin Penick, I think for a while it was like the most liked video on the channel.
It's big time. Because
Justin probably has like 30 YouTube accounts and went and liked it a bunch of times.
You're maybe right.
Well, that felt like a shot at Bobby, but Justin's 11 questions has the most views of any 11 questions. I mean, you beat license plate guy and Bobby.
Big deal.
I mean,
no big deal.
We don't have your kind of following yet or viewership, but you know, it's all relative. So Justin's crushed it. I mean, he's a man of the people.
Yes, he is. Hey.
See how humble I am.
Yeah, I know. All right. We appreciate you guys. Go check out their YouTube and everything, all those interviews. Like, you know, we're waiting on camp first practices on Wednesday. You got plenty of time. Go listen to those interviews, check them out. Jeff, Spiro, thank you guys. Thank you guys for coming on.
Love you guys, man. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, man. Dude. See you at FanFest.
No holds bad. He took me in the low post and won, but I think we had on the Varsity.
Hey, everyone! Wanted to take a quick second to tell you about another awesome John Boy Media podcast, Talking Yanks. Not the one with, what was the guy's name? He went on the Howard Stern Show, Noah. Like, had like the world's biggest pecker. Not these guys. Their peckers are normal size. Talking Yanks, hosted by John Boy and Jake.
Normal?
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Let me look it up. Talking Yanks.
Pecker size?
No. What was his name? It was so they used to prank call the crap out of him, like the Howard. What's Richard and Sal?
Sure. I mean,
look up Richard and Sal on YouTube. Like honestly, like this podcast is gonna be over in 2 minutes. As soon as it's over, look up Richard and Sal. I'm going to find it for you guys. This is
And then after that, look up Talking Yanks co-host John Boy and Jake. Packers size. I'm willing to bet it's slightly below. Just look below at average.
Richard and Sal Yankees. But anyways, the real Talking Yanks, hosted by John Boy and Jake, is your one-stop shop for all things Yankees. There are series recap episodes to get you caught up on how things are going on the field, and a midweek episode to talk stats and storylines. All episodes are streamed live on YouTube, so don't be afraid to join in on the fun and hop into the live chat with fellow diehard fans to celebrate the wins or commiserate the losses. You can find three weekly episodes on the Talking Yanks YouTube channel or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Make sure to stay up to date with John Boy at John Boy and Jake at Talking Jake on Twitter, where you can find them tweeting along in real time with the game. Plus, check out at Talking Yanks on Twitter and Instagram for news and highlights from your Bronx Bombers. Their goal is to make Yankees baseball even more enjoyable than it already is, and we promise it won't disappoint. And if you're a Mets fan, go follow at Jolly Olive. He's part of our company now, and he seems like a cool dude.
Jolly Olive.
All right. That's an episode. That's an off season, technically.
Yes. I am treating in my brain and Bleeding Blue's ending. So, we're here. It's happening.
The off season's over, and that means that for the next 6 weeks, starting on Monday, Sterling Shepard and Darnay Holmes, player profiles and projections. We have an episode every single weekday for the next 6 weeks. Camp Battle episode on Tuesday. Andrew Thomas and Tate Crowder PPP on Wednesday, Blake Martinez and Devontae Booker on Thursday, and then an interview and talking about camp on Friday, and it's going to continue and go on and on. I am so excited. Thank you for sticking with us this offseason. The dead time, the numbers have been surprisingly good with absolutely no news. Thank you, guys. Talking Giants versus the world. We will see you on Monday, and then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, so enjoy your weekend, and until then, let's go Big Blue.